It's 10:12, 12 past 10 o'clock. Val Wilson, yours truly, J. Thomas Smith. We're just going to segue over to the telephone and talk with our next guest, who is got a brand new book out, Kenneth Osborne. He's an author, consultant, and expert in the addiction treatment facility, behavioral health, and corrections. And he's been working in these areas for more than 20 years and is recognized as one of America's premier business leaders and professionals in the Princeton Honors Registry. Kenneth Osborne, good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning Live on Magic 102.1.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. Good morning, Ms. Wilson.
It's so good to hear from you. You're in Nashville, Tennessee?
I am in Nashville, yes, sir.
All right. Well, how's everything? The weather, is it nice and sunny there this week?
It is gloomy and it is cold with a threat of some snow flurries later on sometime during the week.
I tell everybody to tune in to Magic, MyHoustonMagic.com and to brighten up the whole city and melt all the snow.
Believe me, I miss Houston's weather right about now.
Yeah, are you from Houston originally?
Originally from Chicago, lived in Texas about 10 years, two years in Corpus Christi and 8 in Houston.
Okay, well, we won't hold it against you from being from Chicago. We won't hold that against you. but where did you attend church here?
Windsor Village.
Okay, I thought so.
Kirby John.
Yeah, I remember. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, because I noticed you mentioned him in your book.
Absolutely.
You've got a very interesting title here, When Mama is Daddy. Wow. Tell us about that book.
I tell you, a lot of the book, one part of it is certainly born from my own experience growing up in a fatherless home. Mm-hmm. But I think the title formed itself over the many years that I've worked with incarcerated men who, at the onset of trouble or being incarcerated, I've yet to meet a man who calls for his father for assistance.
Mm.
That, coupled with the reality of the countless number of single moms out there raising sons, raising daughters, you would almost think that men are extinct or completely removed from familial situations in large numbers. So the title was to, you know, really to wake up the consciousness of men that are out there who have children, who have families, and for one reason or another may not be present.
Yeah. You say in your introduction that among the top 10 terrible issues facing children worldwide, each problem underscores the fact that the father was absent or neglectful. This is true, especially on the African continent, using children for the military, trafficking children, slavery. There's a lot of issues that children have as a result of the absence of the father.
Absolutely, it raises our social consciousness to not just think of father absence as an African American or Black people's problem. It's global. The threat of safety for children and families and daughters and moms are at great risk by the absence of fathers, those that are not present.
You've got an interesting table of contents here. The Vanishing Man, is the world learning to get along just fine without men? What did you decide in that chapter?
You know, what I thought about is I've been listening to years either stories about there are no good Black men or no good men or all men are locked up or gay or involved in some sort of dysfunction, and then a plethora of books coming out about the vanishing male or how to help men survive or there was an article not too long ago in the Atlantic magazine about, you know, are men necessary? And so I think that there is, a lot of information in the media which would lead one to believe men are not present or are vanishing in large numbers, and it's simply not true.
Chapter 3, Why Men Leave. Why do they?
Really important to put that chapter in there because it's important to realize that men just don't up and decide not to be present.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a matter with the family court pushing the father away, you'd be surprised at the number of moms who have an arrangement or an understanding with a father but are mandated by the Attorney General's office to go and file against the father for child support. And the father may be in financial straits, may be not at a position that he'd like to be at financially to take care of his kids. So he either goes underground or moves away to avoid interference with the law. It may be the result of being involved in a new relationship. There may be even challenges on his job where he simply isn't present because he's away from home. But I think that there is a notion that there is a single solitary reason about why men are not present at home.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it simply isn't because they choose to be neglectful or walk away.
Yeah. Chapter 4, In Search for My Father. Tell us about that.
I would be remiss if this book did not speak to my own experience with father absence. You know, I grew up in very classic, single, female-headed, mama pick up the stove and beat you with it for a warmer kind of home. And she didn't play. And so, you know, my mom and my dad, they met. He was already married and had a family. My grandmother just passed, so he bit more than a consoler of hers. But there was never really going to be a union. And so she always said very positive, affirming things about him. I got a chance to meet him. I think I was about 29 years old. And now I look back on this rather hilarious in some respects. But one of the things that I learned from meeting him that afforded me to, and at least an opportunity to let him off the hook, is you can't transmit what you don't have. And I came to terms with, there were simply some things, it doesn't absolve him of his responsibilities, but there were simply some things that were never transmitted into him about being a father, about being present. And so that got passed on down to me. I simply just made a decision, and I think it was a great benefit. I didn't, in many respects, grow up with him because my mother's tutelage and the messages that I got from her and a lot of the positive men involved in my life at that time, I was able to choose a different pathway. Yeah. But we met. It was comical. I got a chance to see a lot of myself in him. I think that he gave a portion of himself that he could, that he was able to. But I share that so that men know, you know, you're not the only one, and we have to rise above. Sometimes there is a divine order to things, and I really think there was some divine providence in me meeting him much later in life when I had to find myself.
Let me ask you this. Have you found that father absence is primarily an African-American problem?
Oh, absolutely not. It's worldwide. And I think that single white moms are at the top of the list of, you know, fatherless homes and environments. You know, their fathers, they're well-to-do fathers from different ethnic groups that seem to get off the hook with not being present because they can buy access, or they can buy favor, if you will, within the family by providing, you know, financial rewards, educational rewards, and that kind of absolves them of not being present because dad's out there, you know, doing things in the business world and force an opportunity not to be present. But it's far from being an African-American problem.
Oh, well, now, you know, with so many women, single women, you know, raising boys, where do boys go to learn how to become a man?
This is the problem, and it's generations old. And where they go is, unfortunately, media. A lot of times in the neighborhood or within the immediate environments that they live within, there aren't always a lot of positive male role models to choose from. They often choose those guys, not unlike when I was growing up, filled with excitement, fast money, quick schemes, looking good, making life look real simple and easy, never understanding the complexities.
It's unfortunate that we never have enough time, but the book does pinpoint the problems, but are there any solutions offered?
I go into the latter chapters talking about a call to action for men, which is really issuing a challenge for us to raise up and be accountable. And it's more, and it's not just a simplistic notion, but the challenge is real and viable and being practiced by men in countless homes. And also what it is to be a man in the 21st century. I think our roles are being defined by changes in the workplace and in our educational system and in technological advances. So how we define ourselves as men and our role in the world is very different than it was, say, 30, 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to help men get in touch with that reality as well.
How does father absence affect girls?
Wow. Well, the father, as a father of daughters, let me tell you, what women learn about men and how to choose a man has a lot to do. I think that parents are their primary relationship notion. You know, the kids rely on that's in their, you know, in their kit, their information kit as they get older. And so watch scores of young women who have not been raised with a father become very attention-seeking, making very poor, unhealthy choices about men, men who are usually physically or emotionally unavailable. Fathers provide a sense of safety sense of independence and self-assuredness for both their daughters as well as their sons. And with that missing roadblock, I've seen millions of times, both women in counseling and in correctional environments, the linchpin, a lot of their dysfunction has to do with the father not being present or some of the misinformation that they receive from the fathers that were around.
Yeah, I can imagine that a young girl being raised in a single parent household, you know, with the mother, and the mother making all the decisions and the like, I would imagine that as they grow up, they themselves might see themselves as the one who is the decision maker or who basically runs the household, even with a man there. I can imagine that could be some drama.
Well, part of the myth of the superwoman, and I think even more so, they begin to think that men are not necessary,
yeah.
Which I talk about again in that first chapter. It is because that they are raised in those environments where mom does it all, they tend to think, well, I don't need a man. And they will tell you, I don't need a man. And nothing could be farther from the truth for our society.
So we're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we're going to take some phone calls and go deeper into when mama is daddy. You're listening to Magic 102.1. Our guest this segment is Kenneth L. Osborne. He's an author, behavioral consultant, and addictions professional. Or comment for Kenneth Osborne?
Yes.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Earlier there was a comment regarding whether or not a woman could raise a male child into manhood, because who would be there to teach him how to be a man?
Okay. Yeah, there was no question about whether a woman could raise a child, but there was the question that who will teach the boy to be a man? Yes, that was the question. Your comment?
My thing is, a woman is perfectly capable of showing a man a young boy how to be a man, because she would know. As my mother, she had to raise me. She told me, I know what I want to see in a man. I know what I want to see reflected in a man, and so that is what I'm going to teach you.
Okay. And what's your name?
My name is Lakeith.
Okay, and I just give you something to think about. So if you believe that's true, then that means that a man is perfectly able to teach a girl to become a lady or a woman, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm sure there'll be those who disagree, but we really appreciate your comment.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, girls, let me tell you what you have to do, you know. No, certain things, it's not going to feel good. You know, you're 12 years old now. Now, you know what's going to be happening soon. No, I don't think that's going to work. But, Kenneth, I hate we have to get out of here, but just one last question before we go. How can your book help communities bring men back into the equation? What can we do? What can you do? Or what are you doing to help communities in this regard?
Well, the book is a pathway. It is to open and invite dialogue. We need to get out of the habit of blaming and assuming everything that we see on television or read in the newspaper is accurate. I see so many fathers alone with their children in tandem, spending time, grocery stores, restaurants, movies. So there's a myth that men are not present, but we need a dialogue, and we need to talk about the things that are uncomfortable, because I think one of the things that it is the heart of father absence is the unresolved conflict between mothers and fathers.
Yeah.
That a life may have not been planned on, but is here, and now they've fallen out of favor with each other. We've got to have that conversation. We've got to find some different pathways to resolve the conflict in the best interest of the child. And it's just good, healthy interaction between mom and dad as adults.
We're talking I'm sorry, go ahead.
That was it.
Yeah, we're wrapping up here. We're talking with Kenneth L. Osborne. He's an author and a consultant. In fact, he provides training and technical assistance to the U.S. Department of Justice Bureau of Justice Assistance to state prisons throughout North America. He has his first book. What was the title of your first book?
Applied Leadership.
Okay. And you had a long title for When Mama is Daddy, The Male Crisis and Challenge of Ending Father Absence. Where can one get the book?
Okay, a couple of sources. It is currently a bestseller on Amazon.com, so folks are Kindle users and iPad users can go to Amazon.com. They can also write the book is $20. They can send a check or money order to Therapeutic Justice Institute, 1409 Enclave Circle, ENCLAVE, Nashville, Tennessee, 37211.
And is there a website for the book?
Not at this time, but we're in the process of finishing it up.
By noon?
Hopefully we'll have it up soon. But they can send me an email at authorkennethlosborne@gmail.com. Get a lot of responses there as well.
Okay, I'm going to be talking to you again soon. I like what you're doing with regard to the addictions of field and your work with the Justice Department. I think it's important work, and obviously this book is very important also. So,
thank you.
And we appreciate your contribution and your being a part of Sunday Morning Live on Magic 102.1.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Smith.
You're welcome. Kenneth Osborne.